Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.
Are you missing the sounds that matter most? What if you could hear every word, every laugh, and every moment crystal clear without spending thousands on expensive hearing aids? Introducing Audionatum, the world's most affordable FDA-approved hearing aid. With the revolutionary A2 chip, you get premium sound, zero background noise, and a 24-hour rechargeable battery. They even have Bluetooth connectivity to connect to your cell phone or TV. Unlike those traditional bulky $5,000 prescription hearing aids, the Audionatum is 90% smaller, 20 times cheaper, and works instantly. No visits to the audiologist needed. Audionatum has over 500,000 happy customers who have trusted Audionatum to restore their hearing. Our 100% money-back guarantee means zero risk to try. Don't like them? Simply return them and get your money back. They also come with a lifetime warranty. For the next 72 hours, the Audionatum is 53% off. Go to tryhearingaid.com right now to order your pair for only $99. Again, go to tryhearingaid.com to order your pair for only $99. Order now before it's too late, as these hearing aids have sold out over 10 times this year. With Audionatum, you can hear life again.
I'm Emma Kenny. Welcome to Bang to Rights, the deep dive crime podcast, which takes you through some of the most heinous crimes the world has ever seen. Today, we're going to be talking about another child sexual abuse case, but in the interest of balance, I'm going to be talking mostly about a female sex offender, Vanessa George. And the reason for that is I think we cover a lot of cases against men, but we have to acknowledge that women are definitely child abusers too. This case is really chilling just because Vanessa George is one of those human beings who made absolutely sure that she had access to her particular predilection of child every single day that she worked, which is really disturbing. And actually, this case that I'm going to cover today led to a serious case review in the way that nurseries were dealt with regarding the access that workers had to children. I'm going to talk a little bit about what is considered research-wise as differences between male and female sex offenders, because there is considered a distinguishing set of variables. Let's explore that just a little bit. So research seems to indicate that out of all child abuse cases, around 5% are caused by women. So that doesn't mean that that's the absolute case. We know that, for example, teenage boys struggle to talk about teacher-child relationships. We know that there are particular schemas in our society where men are meant to enjoy sexual encounters when they are boys with older women. There's a lot of that kind of really inappropriate stuff in films. So boys are less likely to talk about the fact that they've been sexually molested. They may even buy into the idea and consideration that they were lucky their teacher liked them, which is why when they get older, they're so confused because they were victims of child abuse, but were somehow made to feel like they were lucky. But when we look at the research, it is interesting to see the way that we consider female versus male offenders. And it's also worth mention that there was a piece of research done in the States around 2010 that seemed to suggest around 20% of child sexual abuse cases that have been reviewed involved a primary female perpetrator. So estimates do vary a lot, from 5% to 20%. Who knows? So why do women abuse? Well, we have a variety of contenders, none of which I firmly place myself with. Do you want to know what I think? I think that child molesters have a strong predilection for abusing children. And just as I find men and women attractive, they find children attractive. I come down to a much more, shall we say, linear belief system. You have a right to disagree with me. I'm sure there'll be lots of researchers who listen to this and are like, well, I don't agree with any of that. And that's okay. We're all allowed our opinion here. But personally, for me, I think that just as you're attracted to a particular gender or both genders or all genders, so too could you be attracted to children. It could be a chronology issue that you like younger prepubescent bodies, for example. That might be your thing. So I have this quite linear belief system, but everyone's entitled to an opinion. And I'm going to go through some of the theories just so you kind of understand where I'm coming from. One of them is that women abuse because they have something like narcissistic personality disorder, and they have this real rage towards their own daughters, and they feel jealous of their daughter's youth and beauty, and because they feel that they lose their own admiration and sense of place in the world, they have such jealousy for their daughter that they sexually molest them. That's one theory. Another is that there is this significant number of women who fall into the teacher lover group. So this is women typically in their 30s, and they will victimize children who are like 11, 12, 13 years of age. They often are completely delusional about the beliefs that they have about the relationship. They think they're actually in a relationship with a consenting child. They think it's based on love, and they just don't recognize that it's highly inappropriate. We have examples of women who've been to prison who were teachers, one example of whom came out of prison and married the child that she had been abusing. She was like 20 years older. She already had children of her own, but she actually married him. She's died actually recently, but it blows your mind that she didn't just have a relationship with a 13-year-old boy. She then married him once she'd got out of prison. A whole heap of wrong. But as I said, that often comes from a place where the woman believes that they are the victim. Again, imagine you're brought up in a patriarchy where men are seen as more powerful, and therefore that can give a woman the excuse that only men have power. And even though they're having sex with a child because the child is a male, they can buy in that somehow it's an equal relationship. Totally screwed up, but you can understand the psychology of it. Those type of women have this massive desire for intimacy. They want their emotional needs met in a way that they're not having them met outside of that relationship, often unhappy or bored in their relationships, and they just buy into this devotion that they'll often find from a child, because children are loving and devoted, and when you are in a position of power, it's very easy to appear alluring, shall we say. Adolescent boys are also, in the research, considered less threatening than men of their own age. And because they have more control over the relationship than they would have with another adult male, that gives them a right to have a relationship with somebody that is obviously a child. Now, this is the one that I think I buy into more than anything. Predisposed molester. Yep, as far as I'm concerned, that's what I feel all child molesters are. They are predisposed. They are born with a particular predisposition to be attracted to children. Not necessarily to act on that attraction, but to be attracted to children. And there is some evidence that those women have particular personality traits. But again, you would need a massive sample of women who were child molesters to really draw down an understanding. And the truth is, there isn't that much research out there. Most of it has been devoted to male counterparts because there is such a significantly higher level of male to children sexual abuse than there is from female to children sexual abuse. Probably the one that I find the most difficult, where we have a title for it, is the mother molester. And actually, if we're going to look at child sex offences and who is responsible when it's female led, it's significantly higher when it comes down to mothers molesting their children. So we see statistically a woman who is a mother who is a child molester is 4.5 times more likely to offend against her own children, as well as other children that she may care for, such as foster kids or kids who've been adopted. Then there is this other group that I just don't agree with. And a lot of you will probably be like, Emma, you need to have more sympathy and empathy. And I welcome your responses. I read them. A lot of you have disagreements with me. A lot of you agree with me. And I love that because the world would not be rich without our different ideas. And I learn so much when people like you get in touch with me and you introduce me to new ideas and you show me new research and all the things that can really help me. But I really struggle with this one. It's called male coerced offending, passive females in relationships with abusive males. And you know what? They're so passive and they're so needy and they're so desiring their partner's affection and attention that they'll do anything for them. I just do not buy this. I can buy a lot of coercion. I really can. You know, I can see women get involved in certain crimes like drug dealing or stealing or prostitution or anything where they are placed in a position to please a male and they are fearful that they will lose that male unless they act out in a series of ways or they're scared for their own life and all of those things that go with it. But do I believe that you can coerce a woman who is typical in her mind and processing to abuse children? No. Because the natural inclination of 99.9% of human beings is you would do anything to protect a child, whether it's your child or another person's child. For most of us, if somebody even floated the idea that, you know, what they'd like to do is sexually molest a child, you would end the relationship immediately and probably go and speak to your local law enforcement department. So this idea, as far as I'm concerned, that a woman can be coerced into sexually molesting a child, it does not wash for a minute. And I know that most of you listening to me now, probably all of you, are agreeing with me. They also have this misguided belief that if they do engage in the abuse, their partners will validate them more and it will cement their relationship. It will create intimacy and bonding because they have such a connection over the child abuse. I'm the first person who would say in relationship work, we're always like, hey, find a common interest that you can do together because that will really help you bond and grow in your relationship. I'm sorry, go and play golf. Take up a hobby. Do not use abusing children to solidify your relationship. And that's why I don't buy into this one. I don't think you can coerce anybody into sadistic behavior towards children unless you have a predisposition for it. That's my belief. Now, one of the key points of difference that research says there is between male and female sexual abuse of children is the power relationship that goes on with the victims. So it's considered that sex crimes perpetrated by men are considered crimes of power over the victim, whilst female sex offending can be control driven. So the need for intimacy seems to play a larger role than domination, so to say. So is child sexual abuse by women on the rise? And the truth is we don't know. I would imagine at a time where there is so much child abuse available online that there can't just be a male market for it. I also think that when I've been looking at cases recently, a lot of the time women are the middlemen in these situations, so they're involved at some point, and there may be a wider and bigger audience that are consuming this kind of material, but undoubtedly women are involved. And I would say that definitely since the rise of the web, we will absolutely have seen a rise in women sexually molesting children. Now, as I said earlier on, the problem with the current understanding of female sex offenders is we just don't have the research. You know, we really need to reconstruct our ideas about child sex offenders to include women, because at the moment we take a lot more research around men and we don't necessarily get to understand the offences caused by women and why they end up that way, why they become sex offenders. So let's move on to Vanessa George. You are going to struggle with this one. You are going to struggle with this one for a lot of reasons, but you are going to struggle with this one because of what I talk about at the end. So I'm just going to give you that warning, all right? I'm going to prepare you. So who was she? Well, she was one of those human beings that people around her really liked. They called her the life and soul of the party. She was invited to lots of social events. When you looked at her family background, there are no red flags. none that are obvious, but some that I think, as far as I'm concerned, are subtle but clear. So to friends and family, she was somebody that was very well liked. She was very much involved in her community. She was seen as a valuable member of community. In fact, she was the person that if you needed somebody to come and babysit your kids, she'd be first on the list. So she isn't just somebody who courts public opinion in a positive way. She's somebody who courts a great deal of trust. And the children that she worked with, yep, that's the red flag, isn't it? She works with kids. And this is why I don't buy into a lot of the take on Vanessa George. You'll hear it as I go through the crime. I don't give her this get out of jail free card regarding the fact that she suddenly developed these feelings for children. I think she placed herself from day one in her work in an area where she had access to the children she was attracted to. And even though I haven't got evidence for that, that's what I fully believe. The job she chose for a very good reason. Why would you surround yourself with children? You either care for them or you're attracted to them. It's as simple as that. And in this case, I think she surrounded herself with those children because she was attracted to them. She was seen by children as being really cuddly and kind. And again, that gives you an indication, doesn't it? You know, was she one of those people who was constantly cuddling the kids? Was she very close to the children in that way? Was she gratifying some need at the time? Was this innocent? I don't think so. But she'd never been in any trouble with the police, so that meant that she would have had a DBS check, which would have said that she was clean, which would have meant that she could have worked with vulnerable groups of children. And I think that's one of the hardest things for those people whose children attended the nursery that she was arrested at. It's the fact that they were in a position where they handed their children over to believe that they would have a great time in her care. And that she was one of those trusted adults that they could genuinely leave their children with without any fear. I mean, we have so many micro trust movements every single day. It would be horrible if we couldn't trust the world a little bit like that, because every single part of our world is based on micro trust experiences. You know, we imagine that it is okay to do so many things in our world. You know, you don't go into Costa, order a coffee and imagine they're gonna poison you. It's just these micro trust experiences are how we survive the world that we live in.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
But for those parents who literally had their lives turned upside down by this, imagine the trust that was breached. Now, she was brought up in a perfectly nice home. She was the daughter of a shipbuilder. They were not poor. They didn't struggle economically in any way. She had a box standard life. There was nothing that stood out at all about her upbringing that arguably could lead us to having any real understanding as to why she decided to do the things that led to her being imprisoned. So we know that Vanessa George hadn't had anything outstanding happen to her when she was growing up. She'd been well liked. Her life had been potentially what others would view as a really good one. She'd been married for more than 20 years. She had two teenage daughters. And also, from what we know, and I've read quite a lot of articles and literature and case notes on this, it does seem that up until the latter part of her life with her family, that she seemed relatively content and she was always telling people that she loved her children. And certainly from the external viewpoint, that's how her family seemed to play out. Before she ended up at the nursery where she was arrested, she had worked for 6 years as a classroom assistant at a school. And as I said before, she'd babysat, making extra money for local parents. And that is why I do not buy into what the defense tried to say about Vanessa George. Vanessa George was held up as somebody who was coerced into child molestation. I don't buy into that at all, and I'll tell you why. If you have a predilection and an attraction for children, you are going to want to surround yourself with them, right? She spent 6 years as a classroom assistant at a school, and then she moved to Little Ted's nursery. So she moved from one place with children to another place with children, and she also earned extra money babysitting. You cannot tell me that she made those choices without reason. She could have worked for so many things. She chose to be surrounded by kids. Now, anybody who surrounds themselves with kids on the whole is a loving, caring, vocational human being who wants to protect them. Unless you have an attraction for them. And then you're going to want to surround yourself with the children because you're attracted to them that satisfy your interest, right? And just because we don't have evidence that she was abusing children at this point, we don't know that she didn't. Remember, the reason that I'll come on to and the reason that she is caught is not because she hasn't abused children before. It's because she starts engaging with others in the molestation of children. And that's where the security in her own experience is breached. And without that breach, who knows? She could have abused lots of children and continued to, because she certainly took jobs where she had access to them. A big thing that seems to have caused a shift in Vanessa George's behaviour is when she starts getting really, really interested in Facebook. So to people who watch this YouTube channel, and you might not really have a Facebook account because loads of young people don't bother anymore with it, people like me who are old did have Facebook accounts. And it was very much when you first started to be on Facebook, you'd be able to connect with people that you hadn't seen for years, you could join groups, you could develop new friendships, but mostly it was kind of the people that you knew that you'd catch up with from school who you haven't seen in like 15 years and just check whether their life was better than yours, you know, that kind of thing. But Vanessa George really kind of got into it. She became almost obsessed. And even though it seemed pretty innocent, she was getting in touch with people, connecting with old school friends, checking up with how life was. She definitely started to spend a lot more time than we would see as healthy. She even joined a group, I read this in the Sun newspaper when I was doing my research, against child abuse. Yeah. Bit like a butcher signing up for a group called Enjoy Veganism. You know, personally, I think that's a mask against child abuse. It goes two ways, doesn't it? The first way is I want to be seen as somebody who's a completely typical human, who's well adjusted and poses no risk to children. Let's join a group that's against child abuse. That's like a classic stand of masking, right? If you think I'm in this group, that's because you believe I would never harm your child. But it will also mean that there'll be lots of conversations around child abuse. And if you're a predator, you're gonna wanna know about those conversations. You might even enjoy witnessing those conversations. You might even enjoy engaging in them. Because in one way, you're enjoying the fear that you're seeing these people discussing around the worries that they have for their own children. Also, you're maybe enjoying the voyeurism of finding out about particular abuse. And again, it serves a purpose because you're seen as somebody who is virtuous because you're standing up against child abuse. Again, that for me is a red flag, it really is. Not for 1 minute am I saying that any of you out there who are in groups called against child abuse are abusers, quite the contrary. I'm saying always be aware of the wolves in sheep clothing because they are everywhere. Now, when you've been married for 20 years, you might be a bit bored. You know how it is. You like pizza, you eat pizza every day, and then someone offers you a fajita, and you're like, oh, I'll have a fajita. So I get it. People in long-term relationships get bored, and it's kind of nice being considered attractive, and she suddenly finds herself online, and she's chatting to guys, and she's flirting, and people are finding her attractive, or at least engaging with her in a way that makes her feel visible again. And I think it's really important to note that in Western society, women tend to be people who are told, like, after 40, just go and put yourself in a cupboard. It's ridiculous. Like, women are vital and interesting and curious, inquisitive, wise, beautiful, incredibly bright and individuals who have such knowledge that as they grow older, their worth should grow deeper and stronger and more valuable. But it's just like, hey, who's this 16-year-old influencer on TikTok? Let's go and follow them and what their thoughts about the world are. So you can understand that women, particularly of a certain age, do sometimes find themselves wanting to find themselves in a more visible way. So she's flirting away, and that's how she meets Colin Blanchard. This is where the foliageur, it's more than a foliageur because there are quite a few involved, but a foliageur with her and him begin. Now, he is a horrible human being. I'm sorry. I've read court reports. I've seen interviews. I've read newspaper cuttings. And I just really don't like this man, and not just because he's a horrible child abuser. I don't like him because he is that kind of guy that will just lie to your face about anything and everything. He's a really untrustworthy human being. Been basically married for 16 years. He's got a really nice lifestyle from external viewing in. He's got a really big detached home, and he looks the part, right? He lives, or did live, literally like 15 minutes away from where I am. It's not a massively expensive area where he lives, but it's still a reasonable area. And the houses, you can get good houses, big houses for reasonable prices there. So you don't need too much to tell a story. And he's constantly telling a story. I mean, if he isn't on Facebook posting pictures of his new 50-inch TVs, or if he isn't telling you that he's had palm trees craned into his garden, you know, he's just lying about stuff. In fact, when I was growing up, my mum used to refer to people who did this as a Walter Mitty. And a Walter Mitty is somebody who will just lie and lie and lie and lie and lie. They'll just create the world around them even though it isn't true. But in the paper, neighbours referred to him as Billy Bullshit, which I think is probably an appropriate name. And he would just make stuff up. Like, for example, he'd be like, I've got a private jet and I take Liverpool football players all over the world in it. You know, believe me, if you come from Littlebury, you know that you don't have a private jet. It's as simple as that. It's like me saying in my back garden, I've got a private jet, not a problem. But he just boasted constantly. He just wanted everybody to believe that he was bigger than he was. He even tried to say he was a movie producer. He said that he had millions stashed in Dubai. And he was even compared in the Sun newspaper to Del Boy from Only Fools and Horses, which makes me giggle. Because Del Boy was a lovable rogue. We all love a Del Boy. Heart's in the right place. Do anything for his family. Yeah, might sell you a dodgy gold watch that turns out to just be plated and it only works for a week. But the whole character of Del Boy, which is from a series in the UK called Only Fools and Horses, is that you know at his heart he is loyal and loving and caring. Whereas this man would run you over if he could get something over on you. It's as simple as that. And when he was arrested, when the police actually caught up with him, he was owing thousands and thousands of pounds. So it turns out that he really wasn't the kind of individual he was presenting. He also had prior convictions. And this is, again, really important to note. So he was traveling home from Thailand, and the police wanted to look, Customs and Excise, at what he had on him. And they took his computer and they found on his computer child porn. Now, it hadn't been disseminated, so he hadn't sent it out to anybody else, and he hadn't made it. It wasn't his making. So he hadn't taken pictures of a child himself. I don't believe that makes a difference. I have a real problem with the way that we treat child abuse. As far as I'm concerned, if you are looking at child abuse online, you are a sexual molester of children. You are vicariously abusing them. You should get the same kind of sentence as somebody who makes it. It's my own personal view. I know that there is a spectrum. We have paedophiles here who never abuse children. They just have a predilection for them. They're attracted to them. They do nothing about it. And here we have narcissistic serial killer of children. There's a big spectrum. But for me, the minute that you view any child porn, you are a sexual molester. And, you know, he is given a caution for it. He's put on the sex offenders register for 5 years. 5 years, though. How does being on the sex offenders register for 5 years cure you? I mean, how does that work? How do you get cured of being sexually attracted to children? Because for me, like, I'm sexually attracted to men and women. And men are attracted to men, women are attracted to women, We all have our particular, you know, predilections, and we also have our own predilections when it comes to sexual behaviour, what we enjoy. But I think it's exactly the same for child molesters. I think they're inappropriately attracted sexually to children. I don't think that getting 5 years on the sex offenders register is the way that that's cured. You know, I think there's something much deeper that needs to be explored. And it's one of the problems that we have is that, you know, people do repeat this kind of offending when they're only given light cautions, because it's not really any consequence, is it? I mean, you get a caution for shoplifting from Tesco. It's hardly on the same level, is it? So now we have Vanessa George and Blanchard meeting in cyberspace, probably around 2008. They pretty immediately develop this really close bond. It's almost like they sniff each other out. I'm a real believer in this. So you can show psychopaths, people walking down an alley, and they'll pick out the one who has been sexually molested in the past or mugged in the past. They're that quick to use predatory instinct. So if you are a natural predator and you're talking to another natural predator, there's going to be things in your messages that are coded but very obvious to the individual who's reading them, who's also a predator. So this bond happens very, very quickly, deepens very, very effectively, and they almost immediately start talking about the fact that they have these dark sexual fantasies about child abuse. So immediately they found that perfect partner. On one hand, we have a man who we know has got a history of viewing child abuse photos, and we have a woman who I believe was already abusing children. I have no evidence for that, apart from her latter crimes, but certainly the fact that pretty immediately they start talking about what they want to do to children highly inappropriately with one another, that doesn't sound like some starting point, does it? It's not a starting point for him, and I won't have it that it's a starting point for her. I fully believe that she has been abusing children the whole time. That's why she took jobs babysitting. That's why she worked as a teaching assistant. And that's why she got a job as a nursery nurse. Her job means, of course, that she has access to very young children. Remember what I said earlier on? That female sex offenders tend to go that one category for very young children, and they don't distinguish between whether they're males or females. They don't have a particular predilection. It's just access to young children. And we know from staff colleagues that she starts making excuses to have quite a lot of time alone with children. You know, she's constantly going and changing their nappies. And this is when she starts to assault them. She takes pictures of them on her mobile phone. She even takes objects to use on them. And at one point, we do know she admits to taking a sex toy into the nursery. There's no way this woman is some coerced victim. No. He's vicariously abusing these children. She is directly abusing these children. I don't care how attracted she was to him. I don't care how validated she felt because he was attracted to her to some degree. I don't care what kind of weird stuff was going on between them as far as adults are concerned, who she was betraying with her husband and so on and so forth. I'm concerned about the fact that she willingly abuses those children and actually takes objects to harm them with whilst videoing them at work. This is how manipulative, how arrogant, how...
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.
Above the normal code of behavior these kind of humans are. I don't have any empathy towards her. I don't think that she was a victim. I don't think she was coerced. I think she was loving every minute of it. I think she is somebody with serious, serious issues and serious form. And again, a lot of you might disagree with me. Feel free to go and read about this case and feel free to read about where it is now. because you may completely believe that I am being far too hard on her at this point. It's my point of view though. And it's my point of view for a lot of reasons. Yes, I'm triggered by child abuse. I'm certainly triggered because of the fact that I've worked in those areas for many, many years, and I've seen the impact of the abuse that happens on children and the long-term impact for those children as they grow into adults. And it's reprehensible that these kind of things happen. Understandably, when you think about all of those parents who trusted Vanessa George, imagine knowing that you'd let her babysit your child. I mean, that's terrifying, isn't it? And this actually prompted a serious case review, just to say. So the nursery itself had a serious case review and it was found to be really lax in lots of areas. But again, I'm not jumping to the defense of the nursery. It's really important that we learn from mistakes. But what kind of a world would it be if we constantly imagined that teachers were paedophiles or that police officers were going to rape us and so on and so forth? These things happen, but they're very, very rare. So most of the time in good working conditions, people let security go a little bit, not because they're bad at their jobs, but because they trust the people that they work with. Now, checks weren't being made. And maybe if those checks had been made, then she wouldn't have been able to have the opportunity to spend as much time one-to-one with children. But again, that's not how the world tends to work. The police did actually think initially that about 300 children had been abused, but it was narrowed down to about 30. I'm gonna be honest, I'm gonna go back to what I said before. Please let me know if you disagree with me. I think that she had been abusing children or thinking of or doing things that were near to abusing children for a very long time. Yes, she met her perfect partner in crime, but it was in her. Without a doubt. The fact that she also targeted very young children says that she didn't want them to be able to tell people what she was doing. It's really challenging, isn't it? Because when children haven't got a great deal of language, how are they going to let you know? When children are babies, they're not going to be able to let you know unless there are injuries to them. They also didn't show the faces in the photographs. Now, this really interests me. On one level, it's because it means that she can step away from some accountability. She knows the parents of these children. So if their faces are shown, that gives a direct relationship between her and the parent. The parent directs, therefore, accountability towards her as a child molester. If she doesn't show their face, then there is a step away from accountability. Secondly, you won't see pain. Not all child molesters want to see their victims looking in pain or distress. It doesn't add to every child molester's enjoyment. So potentially it was to avoid ruining the moment because she didn't want the face to be shown because of the fact that there had been some distress on there. But also, it again allows her to some degree to make the children less individual. She's not abusing that child with a particular name that she has a particular relationship with. She's making them faceless, less individual. Again, it makes her less accountable. Also, it means that the police will find that very difficult to identify which child it was, which to some degree means it's really challenging for the parents because every single parent would imagine that it happened to their child. That's how you'd feel. You'd think she was around my children. Therefore, there will have been at some point an opportunity for her to have harmed my child. And that's a terrifying situation for any parent to deal with.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait, and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
Because you're going to believe it, aren't you? You're going to believe that that happened to your child. So this is really high-level abuse, but manipulative, really manipulative. And Vanessa George would then send these photographs, obviously, to Branchard, and he would direct, you know, he would ask her for specific shots. So she looks like she's a puppet, but she isn't. She's enjoying the sexual gratification herself. She's enjoying an additional sexual gratification because she's getting all this validation and attention from Blanchard. But she's the one carrying out the abuse. Even the police who had had lots of experience in this area, police are highly trained and they're very capable at managing trauma. But even they said that they felt sick looking at the content. And as I said earlier on, remember, lots of child molesters are still attracted to people of their own ages. And certainly we know that Blanchard and Vanessa George used to also send really awful, dark, graphic fantasies between themselves and lots of sexual images of themselves. So they were in a sexual relationship to some degree, albeit a cyber one. They had so much communication that between December 2008 and her arrest in the following June, there was 10,000 phone messages, text messages, emails, MSN, and contact. So you can just see how constant this contact was and how involved they were together. Now, Vanessa George wasn't the only person that Blanchard was in contact with, because he was also having an internet relationship with a woman called Angela Allen. And she was a parent, she's in her 30s, and she also started to get involved in this strange sexual behavior. It was one of those additions to their relationship. They all shared fantasies, they all shared the photographs of the abuse, and they all seemed to get each other to think about who could go darker, who could do a deeper dive on the abuse, which just shows how disturbed they were, but also how life has that really weird way sometimes of connecting the absolutely wrong people to one another, to the detriment of every single person around them. Blanchard did manage to convince both these women that he loved them, and they both thought that they were in love with him. I know that this is just a note about egos. This is about three people wanting to have validation and valuation by one another. But that's normal in life. We all want people to validate and value us, but we do it usually through what we consider typical and healthy ways, such as buying somebody a bunch of flowers, letting that person know in a card how you feel about them, making sure the house is tidy and you've cooked a nice meal occasionally. You know, they're the kind of normal, typical things, not this kind of stuff. This isn't about validation and valuation in the normal sense. This is about three child molesters getting together and sharing content. That's the truth. Ironically, out of the three, Alan, the woman who came into it, was the most graphic. She had a real penchant for talking about rape and sex with animals, and she was seen after her arrest as being completely without emotion. I also do think that when you look at her past, she was a prostitute, she was very poor, she'd had a very difficult life. So even though we can judge her more harshly because she's more overt about her horrific predilections, I also think we have to explore the fact that her experience growing up was very different to the other two. So the way this would work was typically George would send the pictures to Blanchard, who would then forward those on to Alan. On the 22nd of April, for example, George sent 10 images to Blanchard, who then forwarded them on to Alan. But it wasn't always Blanchard at the center of the relationship, because we also know that Vanessa George communicated directly with Alan. The police said that the two women were emotionally vulnerable. Who isn't? Aren't we all emotionally vulnerable? Can't we all play a victim now and then? I mean, who isn't a bit emotionally broken and vulnerable, right? But I'm sorry. The idea that you have Blanchard as this dark Machiavellian figure controlling these two vulnerable women to do all these terrible things. No, not at all. They were as involved as they could possibly have been. And I'm sorry, Vanessa George was the one carrying out the abuse. Think about it. Think about your own feelings towards children. We would throw ourselves in front of a truck for a stranger's child if we knew that we would save their life. We don't even need to be related to children to want to save them. That's the natural feeling that you have. If anyone came near a child of mine to abuse them, they better duck and then run, because that's the way I'm going to respond. I'm going to physically want to harm them. That's what happens when you are a loving parent or you're a carer of children. You would save any child, right? That's the way the brain works. And actually, there's this research that if you watch my stuff before, have talked about briefly in other videos, but there is research, particularly in the States at the moment, exploring the child molester's brain. And there is this idea, and it's growing in its weight, that the area of the brain that you and I are wired is, we see children and it goes to this area that we would call something like parental protection. So kind of you're hardwired to look at something cute and small and go, how do I save you? That's the way it works, right? Same with kittens and puppies and all those things. You're kind of hardwired to find those things that you wish to protect. But there is this growing belief that the child molester's brain is wired, when they see a child, to attraction. So even though you might feel more sympathetic because, okay, your brain's miswired, you can't go through with that line of inquiry and thought. You have to just say, okay, even if somebody's brain is wired to a slightly incorrect position, there is enough moral cues around you, there is enough law enforcement around you, there is enough information around you that will morally let you know that wanting to be attracted to children is not something that is desirable and ideally that you need help for. But like I said, you know, I just won't have it that there are these two little poor women who are just so controlled by this puppet master that they'll do anything that he asks. It doesn't wash with me. No, you're all child molesters. You're all despicable. You're all dangerous. And you all caused great pain and harm to your victims. Now, all reports, and this is including the prosecution and the defense, they all say that there's no doubt that George's offending only took place after she met Blanchard. Apparently, there were no allegations that had surfaced before that or from her experience in cyberspace. Again, I'm just not buying it. I don't have the evidence, but if you're telling me that this woman who had worked with children for a long period of time hadn't recognized that she had some kind of predilection sexually for them, but then within months of meeting some other weirdo online, suddenly realizes that not only does she have a predilection for them, that she has dark, depraved desires for them and is willing to go ahead and execute a plan of systemic child abuse? No, I'm sorry. I do not believe that she will not have had an unhealthy interest in and at times potentially breached boundaries with some children, particularly very young ones who would not be able to tell anybody about that. And it may make parents sleep easier at night who she had access children-wise to, but for me as a parent, I'd just be thinking she just got away with it for a very long time. It is clear that there were suggestions that she had always had paedophilic thoughts, but that Blanchard basically provided a catalyst which then encouraged them to act out those fantasies. Like I said, I'll just agree to disagree. I think that she was a paedophile who had become a child abuser, who surrounded herself with her children that she was attracted to, and then the minute that she got a partner in crime, she escalated. I just don't think it won't have ever happened before. I think it will just have been escalated from this point of view. Now, how did they get found out? You know, how did this dark ménage à trois actually get found out? Okay, so Blanchard, we already know, is known as Billy Bullshitter. And his business partner, unsurprisingly, when we think about the behaviours that this particular individual has, thinks he's untrustworthy. In fact, he thinks he's stealing from the firm. So whilst Blanchard is away on business in Dubai, his business partner looks at his computer and he finds lots of images of children being sexually abused. The minute that he comes back to Manchester Airport, he's arrested and more images are found on the laptop that he has with him and on his iPhone. And then police find lots of images of sexual abuse that also involve animals. Yeah. There is a whole heap of deeply disturbing sexual content. We also know that the police found evidence that Blanchard himself had been sexually assaulting children directly. He'd taken pictures himself of abusing children. And you won't be surprised to know that when Blanchard was caught bang to rights, as opposed to being a loyal, discreet partner in crime, he just sang like a canary. He immediately told the police exactly where the photographs had come from. There's nothing like loyalty in crime, is there? So he basically was able to give the information to the police. It's a classic thing that people will do, particularly people like Blanchard. You know, he wants to ingratiate himself to the police. He wants to seem less guilty. He wants to show that he's a good person, really. He's just been coerced and manipulated by this awful woman. You can just see how it would have played out, couldn't you? I mean, he would just have lie after lie after lie. But he obviously gave them enough information that led back to little Ted's nursery, which was on one of the photographs. So as soon as he's been arrested, he then immediately tells the police about Vanessa George, and they look through the photographs. They can also find evidence because one of the photographs has got little Ted's nursery badge on it. So they now know a direct link to that. And through all this evidence, they're also able to track down Alan. Now, when they raid her home, they're really surprised because she's made absolutely no attempt to destroy the evidence. She knows that Vanessa George and Blanchard have been arrested, but she just has kept everything around her. And it turned out that she too was not just ingesting the content by looking at pictures. No, she herself was making child pornography. She was recording it, she was disseminating it. This is why I won't have it. The women in this situation were just as guilty as the man. It's as simple as that. Now, all of them agreed that they met on Facebook, but I don't know. Is that really where they would have all met? I mean, Facebook seems like a pretty light environment to meet people of that predilection. And I'll be honest with you, as much as Facebook has got a lot of negatives associated with it at the moment, you know, massive censorship, not allowing truth to come out, all the things that are around that. Apart from that, it has got some very good algorithms that crawl the internet to make sure that any images that are inappropriate get taken down. So to some degree, I'd be very surprised if they properly met on Facebook. I would imagine that they probably quickly got into a situation where they could talk to each other on phones or even use the dark web, because with respect, that's where a whole heap of crazy takes place. And they certainly wouldn't have been able to move photographs around Facebook. It would have absolutely have been identified straight away. And the idea that this is chance encounter where these three people who were each as sick as one another just found each other, that's why I don't buy into the fact that there was not history with sexual abuse where Vanessa George is concerned. They were able to join together to betray and completely break down the trust of parents whose children should have been safe and yet found themselves at the hand of molesters in a place that everybody believed their child would thrive in. One of the things that stands out about these three is they were stupid. And I'm glad they were stupid. There's nothing I like more than a stupid child molester. They're not able to understand technology in the way that sophisticated paedophiles and child molesters are. You know, they made very little attempt to hide their tracks. They had lots of text messages, lots of trails that the police could follow. And even though Vanessa George had what she called the fun phone, that was the one where she'd use to take pictures of children. The fun phone, again, you see, the language, she referred to it as her fun phone. Does that like sound like somebody who's coerced into this situation? So she had one phone that she used for her family, her work, her friends, her experience in reality, and then the other one, the fun phone, was to go to work and abuse children with. That in itself shows that she was enjoying it. Now, the police say there are lots of puzzles in this case. They don't know how they met one another. They have no idea if the images were spread anywhere else. They don't know whether it was just this really weird group of three people who just weren't that sophisticated and didn't know how to cover their tracks, or just didn't think they were big enough as a network to cause issues. Because of course, you know, paedophile networks can be enormous. But it doesn't suggest that they were really putting the child pornography out to groups of people. They have crawled the internet in that way. And that is something that at this point in time, it doesn't seem to appear that they were spread far and wide, so to speak. However, that does not mean that didn't happen, because we know how deceptive and manipulative these human beings are. Now, on the 15th of December, 2009, George was given an indeterminate sentence. She was told that she'd serve at least 7 years with the proviso that she must prove she is safe to be in society again before being released. 2009, she's given an indeterminate sentence, right? She has to serve at least 7 years and prove that she's safe, yeah? I don't know, I find that sentence worryingly short. And I'll tell you why, because Vanessa George was released from prison in September 2019. She served 10 years. And the parole board approved her release in July 2019. She's got conditions, she's got her license, she can't own a device which can access the internet, and any break in those kind of conditions will result in her release being revoked, and she'll get additional jail time as well. I'm not okay with that. I'm not okay with the fact that Vanessa George manipulated, coerced, and abused children that were put in her trust for a period of time where she also shared depraved fantasies and ideas and sexual experiences with two other humans at least. I'm not okay that a woman who was put in a position to work with children, who chose an active career with children that she was clearly attracted to, is allowed now to walk the streets without any further punishment to some degree. I don't know what her license terms will be, but to me, that was a very lean sentence. I guarantee if that had happened in the States, she'd have been looking at 30 to 40 years. Like I said, I'll always be honest about the fact that one of the things that we see in research is that spectrum of a paedophile here being somebody who doesn't touch a child but is aware they're attracted to somebody who kills a child and rapes them, right? So there is a massive spectrum. Dependent on where you are, the way that you are impacted on when you were put in prison definitely has an impact. So if you think about career criminals, maybe they're stealing from Tesco every other day, they're mugging people, they're burglaring, they're taking cars, all these kind of career criminals, right? When they go to prison, they get used to it. It's like a cycle, it's no big deal. There's not a lot of shame associated with it. You know, you're just going away again. But if you've never been to prison and then suddenly you find yourself with a relatively big sentence, everybody knows that you are a child molester and your fall from grace is catastrophically large, and you know that your life will change beyond any recognition, then after you've been to prison, that shock may be so big that it can create an aversion. And aversion is very powerful. Aversion is when we almost create a phobic reaction to a certain belief system or idea or thought process. So it is possible that for somebody like Vanessa George, the impact on her world was so catastrophic, and rightfully so, that when she thinks about ever offending again, the consequence is so enormous that it just slaps her in the face with it. Don't even think that way. That's the best we can hope for, isn't it? The best we can hope for is that aversion is so great that Vanessa George will never so much as think of a child inappropriately again. But I don't know how that happens. I really don't. And for me, the idea that we treat her differently to how we would treat a lot of male sex offenders worries me. I don't think that 10 years is anywhere near the type of length that you need to give as a consequence for such hideous and unhuman behaviour. The victims will carry their scars for the rest of their lives. And no matter how the defence try to paint Vanessa George as this victim of coercion, as this individual who just wasn't very bright and wanted to impress the boy that she liked, it just does not wash with me. She's a high-level sex offender. She's a child molester, and she's an individual who isn't able to manipulate her way into a world where children were meant to be safe. Personally, I find her reprehensible, repulsive, and most likely still a danger to many, many children. I welcome your thoughts and feelings on this. You may completely disagree with me. You will always note that whenever I talk about child molestation, it's a big trigger point for me. I have a particular reason for that, and I certainly feel that anybody who abuses a child is the lowest of the low. I really do. I don't buy into the excuses. It's also why when I first trained, I refused to work with sex offenders. I have worked with one or two in my past, but that was something that arrived not because I knew initially that that was part of their issue. I know I'm not that great at working with individuals. In fact, I had a clinical supervisor who used to try to get me to work with sex offenders because they felt it would be good for my professional development. And I was very clear and said to them, I would be bad for the therapy because I would be too judgmental. And in therapy, we're not allowed to be judgmental that way. I know my limits. We all have them, right? What are yours? That's it for Bang to Rights today. Join me for the next episode. See you then. Be safe.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
Are you missing the sounds that matter most? What if you could hear every word, every laugh, and every moment crystal clear without spending thousands on expensive hearing aids? Introducing Audionatum, the world's most affordable FDA-approved hearing aid. With the revolutionary A2 chip, you get premium sound, zero background noise, and a 24-hour rechargeable battery. They even have Bluetooth connectivity to connect to your cell phone or TV. Unlike those traditional bulky $5,000 prescription hearing aids, the Audionatum is 90% smaller, 20 times cheaper, and works instantly. No visits to the audiologist needed. Audionatum has over 500,000 happy customers who have trusted Audionatum to restore their hearing. Our 100% money-back guarantee means zero risk to try. Don't like them? Simply return them and get your money back. They also come with a lifetime warranty. For the next 72 hours, the Audionatum is 53% off. Go to tryhearingaid.com right now to order your pair for only $99. Again, go to tryhearingaid.com to order your pair for only $99. Order now before it's too late, as these hearing aids have sold out over 10 times this year. With Audionatum, you can hear life again.